Welcome to season two.
2020. What a year. We haven't been able to do much travelling this year.
But just a couple of visits to see some of the people that we work with, which has been lucky for us. But no travel.
We miss everyone.
So much. Yeah, we miss running our face-to-face programs because they're a really essential part of the work that we do. But we've made a lot of great stuff.
We've got a YouTube channel. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Some really great free tutorials from different artists. In this episode, we're going to flash back to last year when we did the ANU Arts Exchange at the Bundjian Way. And while we were camping at Jigamy Farm, we got some really great pieces of audio. One of which is awesome poet Sassy Mirabi Nuyum. Also, we've got an interview with Natalie Bateman, who we presented a talk from in the last series, but it's actually a really great in-depth interview about her arts practice and her life growing up. So check it out. She's on Instagram at NatsArt. She's got some really beautiful art up there and some really great kind of work in progress shots and shots of her life. So follow her for sure.
And now we're going to hear from Nat.
I was born in Sydney, Crown Street Women's Hospital, and my mum just turned 18 and my dad was 18 and they got married at 17. Dad's parents lived at South Coogee and mum's parents lived at La Perouse. Dad's father, he was a painter and did sign writing for Kellogg's. So growing up, I was little and I still remember he had a cabinet, the pencils, the sharpener, the rubbers, smelt like, you know, enamel paints, and everything was there. So when we'd visit, we'd sit there and watch him do all the sign writing. So every time we went to me pops, there was art. I wasn't allowed to do it, like with pen and paper, but we just watched my uncles and Pop and Dad just be creative. They're very creative. Because he's a bit of a racist man and he saw what I was doing, it actually changed him. He looked at Aboriginal culture differently because he liked Archie Roach and because he's a muso. And he saw me paint. We've seen a really racist man changed liking Aboriginal people and culture and art and music, and that's huge. He couldn't understand why black fellas live still out in the desert the way they do. He could not comprehend that, and that, you know, you did horrible things. I'd just block it off and go, yeah, because guess what? Your son's not close to you, but my mum, she's close to her family, and when we go to her family, it's open arms, lots of love, light, laughter, good food, good music, and here that's very cut off, and, you know. So my dad became a plumber, and I grew up with my dad drawing all the time. When I started high school and, you know, you got textbooks, I'd go to school, open my textbook, and my dad's done this massive drawing in my books in pen, and I'd be in trouble. Can't go drawing pictures in my textbook, you know. I've got to give it back. He wrote letters, you know. When I moved away, he'd draw. It was always stick figures. All the family knows about Dad's drawing stick figures. You know, I've had yucky experiences in life. I had to have that outlet, and drawing was my outlet. So when I was stressed out, I'd just draw my emotions. I'm an emotional person, so I had to get it all out. I never bought paints, but I always drew. And this one day I brought paints and I was mucking around and I was like, this is my thing. And I got paper and I was like, I'm going to do a butterfly. And I did the body and it was like brown, fade to white, and I put dots in it, and I was like, ooh, this is cultural to me. Because at that time when I was doing it, I disconnected from my culture, and I had to reconnect with it because I was living away from family, and the only way I could reconnect with them was painting. I'm missing them so much that I had to paint them, like paint my emotions about missing them. I missed my brother, I'd paint eagles, I'd paint the sun, sunset, waves. My auntie said, paint this plate for me. I was like, yeah, all right. So I painted a snake, three snakes, yeah, her husband and a little girl. And she said, why don't you go and buy some terracotta plates and keep painting them? So I bought eight. I sold them $80 each. I went and bought canvas, paints. Never ever, like I failed at art. Left school, you know. I know nothing about art really. And then did five paintings in a week. Sold them, made over $2,000. And you know what happened? I was living with a bloke. I smashed his car and the car cost $2,000 to fix. My mum, she said, oh, there's a job in Sydney at her friend's cafe restaurant. She wants you to go and cook. And I thought, all right. She goes, I'll be up next week. You pack your stuff. You're going to Sydney. So I moved back to La Perouse because I was living up at Lennox Head. I lived up there for about 7 years and I cooked, just cooked, surf. Then at the end, painted. Lennox Head was a real spiritual place, you know, because me being away from family and we're spiritual and that, like, missing them. I had lots of spiritual experiences and, like, with the eagles and the whales, dolphins, close encounters with all these things that I just kept painting because I was, like, buzzing and I had to get it out. So I found that I was painting my pain but putting it in a positive way. So even though people go, oh, they're beautiful, that was the way of me getting out my pain. And but I had beautiful experiences. I've had dolphins beside me, whales near me, eagles doing freaky things here, and turtles, and I've seen dolphins throwing octopuses, and I've had baby dolphins beside me. I can hear them. They've circled me. I've seen them underwater, and all this experience was just wow, and getting me to connect. And then that's when the cultural side started connecting with me and the painting, and I just went, whoa. So I was at crossroads, and this elder came up. She's a healer, and she rubbed me down and said, just want you to surf and paint for 1 month. That's it. And I did those canvas paintings, started surfing, moved to La Perouse, continued painting, and then I ended up pregnant. It became really difficult for me to paint because I had arthritis. I had my son and I seized up. I couldn't surf, I couldn't walk. I couldn't sit down to paint. I was just going crazy. So I rang up the hospital and said, got bad arthritis, I had osteoarthritis. I need a hip replacement. They rang me back 3 days later and said, come down in a week. I had a year recovery. And I live with my mum and dad, and they were just, my mum was like, you can't go surfing no more. And I'm like, watch me. So I kept surfing. I just kept doing yoga and new life. I had my daughter 2 years later, kept painting little bits, you know. And then I gave up cooking then. It was just too dangerous for me. And then I left the kids' dad and just got right into my art. I was doing murals and I was painting rugby jerseys every couple of years, about 10, and they'd pay me like $200. And I just kept painting. I thought, this is my ticket, you know, I can't stop now. So I turned it into a business and just kept getting jobs after jobs after jobs and kept building it up. And, you know, I've been doing it for like 25 years, right? What I've noticed with it, I can't complain if I've got no money because I have to paint every day. You put your energy into painting, and it's not just for money, like, because I love painting. It's something I want to do. If I keep painting, things happen and I get that money. And that's what I've learnt lately, and last couple of years, and it works. So I do the right thing by me and my art and the business, and good things just come back. I've got a heap of canvases stretched up to do me. So I've started doing a heap of works. I've done one on Byron Bay, one on Lennox Head, the bees. I'm into the bees at the moment, and the triangles. They're going to be all triangles, birds' nests. And I think I'm just heading, it'll be about wings, like things that fly, and the environment, culture. When I went to Japan, I got some inks, sumi inks, and washi paper, and I'm going to experiment with things like that. There's no rules, and I'm self-taught, and I just go for it.
Now here's some of the incredible poetry from Sassy Mirabi Nuyum, recorded by the water at Jigami.
So I call this one Mother Earth. Mother Earth, she's old, you know. She's the oldest matriarch in our history. Actually, long before our history timeline began. But you see, the precious thing about her is she knows when to renew herself, replenish, rejuvenate. Here we are as a human entity living upon her, with her. She gives to us this nourishment as a mother would her breast, the milk, the essence of natural resource. We are supplied with oxygen, minerals, food, water, medicines. However, for some reason, her, us, we have become a social and science experiment. Indigenous peoples' ways frowned upon as not being productive with this woman, as if she deserves to be poked and prodded, and at worst, raped. But she is our mother, and we dare not destroy her, harm her, nor disgrace her, keeping intact her dignity. We wish to live with her and continue to play, dance, live and dream. Her gifts are greater than any material a capitalist world could ever provide. She breathes, we breathe. She nourishes, we nourish. She cries, we drink. She's a healer and gives us medicine that we need to survive. She has no intention of divide, nor collide, desiccate or disseminate. Mother Earth, she's old, you know. She's the oldest matriarch in history. So I call this Medications and Dedications. 2016. Today has been a hard day. Today I'm not sure what I want, nor where I want to be. Conflicted in spirit, confused by a white man's way, medications that are meant to make you feel all right. Instead, I wake up with thoughts of the night, quiet murmurs, sounds turn piercing, ones that make your skin prickle and your heartbeat jump, tears well, as does the lump in my throat, trying too hard to be content in the soul, just so I can have a moment when I feel whole, cold, vacant, unimpressed, upset by the littlest bump. Sometimes I feel like I just want to jump off a cliff, float away into a place some of mine can be replaced by the one that feels in constant distress. 2018. So here I am again, with quiet murmurs in my mind, in my head. No piercing sounds this time, but a rumble jumble of combined and misconstrued words, reminding me of waking to the morning radio my grandmother would play on schedule every morning in the distance, while Pa milked cows, her duties completed before he came home to a table served breakfast. As I write this, I ask why it is at times I can't meet these timely routines. medication, dullen my dedication to my own personal plight. And heaven forbid, should I say, I know my own body. And this public misfit called a mental health system with fucking artificial grass, plastic, concrete walls, windows like jail yard, medication fucks with my dedication.
Follow Signal Creative on Facebook, Instagram, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast.